The Luminous 100, Luminous Moral Development by Emmanuel Santa Anna. Luminous Prosperity, Luminous Evolution, How Moral Capacity Emerges Through Play. Voice, Emmanuel. Generated from the prompt, Luminous Moral Development, How Moral Capacity Grows Through the Stages.
Contents.
1. Setting the stage. 2. Emergent systems, the science behind self-organization. 3. Divine play, Lila, the mechanism of moral evolution. 4. Clearing apertures, pathways to healing and growth. 5. Traditions as mirrors, reflecting our moral essence. 6. The cosmic and the ridiculous, navigating moral complexity. 7. Aligning with luminosity, the emergence of moral capacity. Setting the stage. Generation failed. HTTP error 400. Bad request. Is LM Studio plus a chat model loaded? Emergent systems. The science behind self-organization. Tuning fork. Haiku. Water dances lightly, forming shapes without command. Play writes its own law.
Cool.
Reality is not a puzzle to be solved, but a game to be played. Citation needed. Claim about play and reality. Parable. The River's Dance. Once, a young scholar asked a wise elder about the secret of life. The elder took him to a riverbank where the water swirled and danced around rocks and pebbles. Watch, said the elder. The scholar watched as the water formed eddies and ripples, moving with purpose, yet without a leader. It shaped itself around obstacles, flowing smoothly or rushing fiercely, depending on the terrain. Sometimes it split into multiple paths, only to recombine downstream. The elder spoke softly. The river does not seek its path. It is the path. It dances, but it is not dancing for itself. It dances because that is what water does when given space. The scholar looked at the river, now seeing the play within the movement, the hidden order in chaos.
Structure et technique, clearing aperture.
To engage with emergent systems, begin with small acts of observation and play. 1. Observe. Spend 5 minutes daily noting where self-organization happens in your life, like traffic flowing smoothly or a team collaborating effortlessly. 2. Play with constraints. Experiment with structured play, e.g., games with rules that evolve, to see how systems adapt without external direction. 3. Dissipate and renew. Practice rituals of release, writing down what no longer serves you, then letting it go, followed by renewal, journaling about new possibilities. These practices scale from simple observation to deeper engagement over time. Luminous definition. Emergent system. A dynamic, self-organizing whole where order arises from the interactions of its parts without central control. It is the play of complexity manifesting in form. 3 appreciative questions. 1. Start. Where in your life do you see systems organizing themselves without your direct intervention? 2. Middle. Searing, what would it mean to surrender to the play of self-organization, rather than force control through effort or will? 3. And how can you align with emergent systems this week, not as a participant, but as one who watches and learns from the dance? The body, the play of emergent systems. Emergent systems are not just abstract models in physics or biology. They are the living fabric of reality. When we observe a flock of birds, a city's traffic flow, or the growth of a forest, we see self-organization at work. These systems follow no central plan, yet exhibit remarkable order. This is Lila, divine play, the mechanism by which complexity generates itself. The law of attraction, as often discussed in pop culture, is a simplification. True self-organization is not about manifesting desires, but about aligning with the deeper currents of reality that move through us when we clear apertures, spaces where our rigid structures allow for fluid interaction with the world. Healing, moral growth, and evolutionary intelligence emerge not from the ego's effort, but from the play within complexity itself. Every tradition, from quantum physics to ancient mysticism, reflects this truth in its own mirror. The work is not about becoming something new, but about clearing apertures, removing the blockages that prevent us from seeing and participating in the natural self-organization of reality. From the place before form, the cosmic and the ridiculous are one. It can only be told as play. This chapter invites you to explore the science behind self-organization, not just as a theoretical concept, but as a lived experience. It is about aligning with real complexity science, self-organization, dissipative structures, autopoiesis, and attractors, citation needed. Define and cite these terms. These terms describe how order emerges without a designer, how systems evolve through play rather than force. 7 7-second sentences. 1. Self-organization is reality's way of playing itself. 2. Play clears the path for complexity to emerge. 3. Healing moves through apertures, not will. 4. The cosmic and the ridiculous dance the same steps. 5. Evolution is not a climb, but a waltz. 6. Moral capacity grows in the rhythm of Lila. 7. Clear apertures, and the universe plays through you. 3 exercises. 1. Accessible. Noticing self-organization. Spend 5 minutes daily observing a natural or social system, e.g., clouds, ant trails, team meetings, and note how it organizes without central direction. Reflection. Where do you impose order unnecessarily? 2. Deepening. Playing with constraints. Engage in a game or activity where the rules evolve based on collective play, e.g., improvisational theater, collaborative storytelling. Reflection. How does the system's intelligence emerge when you let go of control? 3. Advanced. Clearing apertures ritual. Create a weekly ritual to release rigid structures, e.g., burning written down obstacles, and then journal about new possibilities that arise. Reflection. What apertures have you cleared, and what plays through them now? Citations. 1. Citation needed. Quote about reality as a game to be played. 2. Citation needed. References to self-organization, dissip. Divine play, Lila the mechanism of moral evolution. Tuning fork.
Haiku.
Morning sun on dew. A spider weaves its first thread. Moral lines emerge.
Guot.
Play is the work of man at his highest. Plato. Parable. The weaver's loom. Once, in a village nestled between misty mountains, there lived a young girl named Lena who loved to weave. She wove not just cloth, but stories into the threads, stories of wind and rain, of justice and kindness. Her loom was her altar, and each pattern she created was an offering to the unseen forces that guided her hands. One day, an old woman visited the village, a stranger who spoke in riddles. She watched Lena weave for hours without rest, her fingers dancing across the threads as if guided by an invisible hand. The old woman said, "Child, you mistake your labor for toil. What you do is play the oldest play of all, the one that builds worlds." Lena did not understand at first, but she continued to weave, her patterns growing ever more intricate. Years later, when she became a teacher herself, her students would ask, "How does one weave morality?" And she would smile and say, "You do not weave it. It weaves you, as surely as the wind shapes the dunes." Structure and technique. Practices that scale. 1. Resonant breathing. Spend 3 minutes daily breathing in sync with a metronome set to your natural rhythm. This trains the nervous system to self-organize, mirroring how complex systems find equilibrium. 2. Pattern play. Choose one small habit, e.g., making tea, and experiment with it daily, changing the order, the tools, or the environment slightly each time. Observe how tiny variations create emergent beauty or function. 3. Attractor mapping. For a week, track your magnetic actions, the ones that feel effortless yet pull you toward growth. Map these as nodes on a mental graph. Over time, this reveals your personal attractor landscape. Luminous definition. Luminous definition. Divine play, Lila. Term. Divine play, Lila. Meaning. the spontaneous, self-organizing movement of intelligence through emergence, where moral capacity arises as a byproduct of complexity, not intent. Okay, I'm tackling this chapter titled Divine Play, Lila, the Mechanism of Moral Evolution. It's part of a book about luminous moral development, so it needs to be profound yet accessible, blending deep insights with practical wisdom. First, I need to structure this chapter according to the given movements. Let me break it down. 1. Tuning fork, a haiku and a quote to set the tone. 2. Parable, a story that embodies the teaching without stating it outright. 3. Structure and technique, universal practices that scale over time. 4. Luminous definition, a clear definition of a key term in a gold box style. 5. 3 appreciative questions, one at the start, one searing in the middle, and one to end. 6. The body, the core teaching about Lila, divine play. 7. 7 7-second sentences, aphorisms that encapsulate the essence. 8. 3 exercises, progressive exercises from accessible to advanced. 9. Citations, real sources or placeholders for claims needing citation. Step 1. Tuning fork. I need a haiku and a quote. The haiku should be uplifting and about life or evolution, while the quote should be profound and relevant to divine play or moral evolution. Maybe something from a spiritual leader or a scientist. Haiku idea. Morning sun on dew. A spider weaves its first thread. Moral lines emerge. Quote idea. Perhaps something from Santa Ana or a related thinker. Since I don't have exact quotes, I'll use a placeholder and mark it for citation later. Play is the gap where heaven kisses earth. Citation needed. Claim about divine play. But since I can't fabricate citations, maybe I should avoid attributing quotes unless I'm sure. Maybe I can use something from known sources like Teilhard de Chardin or Laszlo.
Refiset quota.
Reality is not only stranger than we suppose. It is stranger than we can suppose. J.B.S. Haldane. Though this isn't directly about play, it's profound and fits the tone. But perhaps something more on point. The universe is made of stories, but it is also made of silence that connects them. Citation needed. Claim about cosmic play? Maybe better to stick with something I know is accurate, like a line from Santa Ana or a similar thinker. Since I don't have exact quotes, perhaps I can paraphrase or use a well-known idea attributed to him. Finalized tuning fork. Haiku. Morning sun on dew. A spider weaves its first thread. Moral lines emerge.
Quote.
Play is the hidden architecture of evolution, where chaos and order dance in silent agreement. Citation needed. Claim about divine play. But since I can't fabricate citations, perhaps it's better to say something like, play is the hidden architecture of evolution, where chaos and order dance in silent agreement. And mark it for citation. Alternatively, maybe I can use a known quote that fits. For example, from Santa Ana or Laszlo. Since I don't have exact quotes, perhaps I should just write a strong line and note that a citation is needed. Let's go with haiku. Morning sun on dew. A spider weaves its first thread. Moral lines emerge.
Quote.
Reality is not only stranger than we suppose. It is stranger than we can suppose.
J.B.S. Haldane.
But this doesn't directly relate to divine play, so maybe I need something else. Perhaps a line from Teilhard de Chardin about play or evolution. Alternative quote. The universe is not only vast but also filled with play, the silent play of forces that shape and reshape existence. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, paraphrased, since exact quote may differ. But I'm not sure if this is a direct quote. Maybe better to avoid unless confirmed. Perhaps it's safer to use a known idea about play from a philosopher or a scientist. For example, play is the work of man at his highest. Plato. That's a good one, directly related to play and human potential. So, tuning fork. Tuning fork. Haiku. Morning sun on dew. A spider weaves its first thread. Moral lines emerge.
Quote.
Play is the work of man at his highest.
Plato.
Step 2. Parable. I need a story that embodies the idea of divine play without stating it outright. It should be about moral evolution or complexity emerging through play. Parable idea. A child builds a sandcastle, not knowing that with each scoop and shape, they are practicing the art of cooperation with the elements, water, wind, and sand. The castle is more than sand. It is a blueprint for harmony, a microcosm of moral structure emerging from play. But perhaps something more profound about complexity and emergence. Revised parable. Once, in a village nestled between misty mountains, there lived a young girl named Lena who loved to weave. She wove not just cloth, but stories into the threads, stories of wind and rain, of justice and kindness. Her loom was her altar, and each pattern she created was an offering to the unseen forces that guided her hands. One day, an old woman visited the village, a stranger who spoke in riddles. She watched Lena weave for hours without rest, her fingers dancing across the threads as if guided by an invisible hand. The old woman said, "Child, you mistake your labor for toil. What you do is play, the oldest play of all, the one that builds worlds." Lena did not understand at first, but she continued to weave, her patterns growing ever more intricate. Years later, when she became a teacher herself, her students would ask, "How does one weave morality?" And she would smile and say, "You do not weave it. It weaves you, as surely as the wind shapes the dunes." This parable suggests that moral capacity emerges through play, weaving, without explicitly stating it. Step 3. Structure and technique. Here, I need simple, universal practices that scale over time. These should be practical techniques rooted in complexity science or systems theory, like self-organization or autopoiesis.
Structure et technique.
1. The breath of play, accessible begin each day with 3 minutes of unstructured play, doodling, humming, or moving without purpose. Observe how your mind naturally seeks patterns. 2. Mirroring the web, deepening practice, relational mirroring. When in conversation, imagine you are 2 nodes in a web, reflecting back not just words, but the underlying energy of connection. This builds empathy as an emergent property. 3. The game of averages. Advanced engage in a daily practice where you track small decisions, e.g., what to eat, and notice how averaging these choices over time reveals hidden moral preferences, like a dissipative structure forming, but perhaps more aligned with complexity science.
Revise de structure et technique.
1. Resonant breathing. Spend 3 minutes daily breathing in sync with a metronome set to your natural rhythm. This trains the nervous system to self-organize, mirroring how complex systems find equilibrium. 2. Pattern play. Choose one small habit, e.g., making tea, and experiment with it daily, changing the order, the tools, or the environment slightly each time. Observe how tiny variations create emergent beauty or function. 3. Attractor mapping. For a week, track your magnetic actions, the ones that feel effortless yet pull you toward growth. Map these as nodes on a mental graph. Over time, this reveals your personal attractor landscape. This feels more grounded in complexity science, dissipative structures, autopoiesis. Step 4. Luminous definition. A gold box definition for Lila or divine play. Luminous definition. Luminous definition. Divine play, Lila. Term. Divine play, Lila. Meaning. The spontaneous, self-organizing movement of intelligence through emergence, where moral capacity arises as a byproduct of complexity, not intent. It is the fun within evolutionary intelligence, the third factor in systems beyond attraction or repulsion, described in traditions as the dance of Shiva or the laughter of the Buddha. Step 5. 3 appreciative questions. 1 to start, 1 searing in the middle, and 1 to end. 1 start. Where in your life have you glimpsed play as the hidden architect of meaning? 2. Middle searing. What moral structures are you currently resisting because they feel like work when they might be invitations to deeper play? 3. End. How would your world shift if you trusted that every act of creation, whether in art, love, or struggle, is already a participation in divine play? Step 6. The body. The core teaching about Lila, divine play. This should tie together the ideas from Santa Ana, complexity science, and moral evolution. The body, divine play as moral evolution. Divine play, Lila, is not mere frivolity. It is the mechanism by which moral capacity emerges through the self-organization of intelligence. It is the third factor in emergent systems, neither force nor form, but the space between where order and chaos playfully negotiate. In developmental theory, moral growth follows stages, from egocentric survival to relational collaboration to systemic harmony, Lagasse model. Yet these stages are not linear but spiral, each revisited with greater complexity. Play is the engine of this spiral. When we engage in unproductive activities, dancing, daydreaming, or even struggling with a puzzle, we are clearing apertures for moral intelligence to flow through us, like water finding its level. This aligns with Santa Ana's architectural rigor. Lila is the living system's theory of morality. It operates at the edge of chaos, the cleared aperture, where autopoietic systems, like our nervous system, generate novelty without losing coherence. Think of a child's sandcastle. It is not built to last, yet it teaches the child and the observer about balance, patience, and beauty, skills that later manifest in adult morality. Play is also the antidote to what Santa Ana calls the tyranny of form. When we cling too tightly to rules or roles, we harden. When we play with them, we discover their underlying harmony. This is why traditions across cultures depict divine figures in playful postures, Shiva's dance, Buddha's laughter, the trickster's mischief. They are not escaping reality, but participating in its deeper logic. Key insight. Moral evolution is not about becoming good in an absolute sense. It is about developing the capacity to play with goodness, to experiment with fairness, compassion, and justice as a child experiments with shapes, knowing they will find their true form through trial and error. Step 7. 7 7-second sentences. 7 aphorisms capturing the essence of Lila. 1. Play is the gap where heaven kisses earth. 2. Moral lines emerge like spider silk, from movement, not force. 3. You are not becoming good. You are learning to dance with goodness. 4. Divine play is the autopoiesis of the soul. 5. Every tradition is a mirror. You have always been playing. 6. The universe heals through cleared apertures, not will, but play. 7. Lila is the third factor. Beyond attraction and repulsion, intelligence swims. Step 8. 3 exercises. Progressive exercises from accessible to advanced. 1. The first clearing, accessible. Daily for 1 week, set aside 5 minutes to do something useless. Doodle without intention, hum a tune with no melody in mind, or walk without destination. Journal. What moral intuition emerged during this time? 2. Mirroring the web, deepening. 4. 2 weeks, practice relational play in conversations. When someone speaks, imagine you are 2 nodes in a web, reflecting back not just their words, but the energy of connection. Notice how empathy emerges as an attractor. 3. The game of averages, advanced. Over a month, track small decisions, e.g., what you eat, how you spend time. After 2 weeks, observe which choices feel effortless, attractors. Then, for the 3rd week, slightly perturb these averages, e.g., choose an unfamiliar path, and note how your moral compass adjusts. Step 9. Citations. I need to mark claims that require citation. For example, references to Santa Ana's tyranny of form, oral caste model, the idea of 3 factors in emergent systems. Quotes about play in traditions, Shiva, Buddha. Complexity science terms like autopoiesis and attractors. Placeholders. 1. Citation needed. Santa Ana's reference to the tyranny of form, oral caste model. 2. Citation needed. the idea that moral evolution operates through three factors in emergent systems. 3. Citation needed. References to Shiva's dance, Buddha's laughter, or trickster archetypes and traditions. 4. Citation needed. Complexity science terms like autopoiesis and dissipative structures. Now, let me assemble this into a coherent chapter. Divine play, Lila the mechanism of moral evolution. Tuning fork. Haiku. Morning sun on dew. A spider weaves its first thread. Moral lines emerge.
Guot.
Play is the work of man at his highest. Plato. Parable. The weaver's loom. Once, in a village nestled between misty mountains, there lived a young girl named Lena who loved to weave. She wove not just cloth, but stories into the threads, stories of wind and rain, of justice and kindness. Her loom was her altar, and each pattern she created was an offering to the unseen forces that guided her hands. One day, an old woman visited the village, a stranger who spoke in riddles. She watched Lena weave for hours without rest, her fingers dancing across the threads as if guided by an invisible hand. The old woman said, "Child, you mistake your labor for toil. What you do is play, the oldest play of all, the one that builds worlds." Lena did not understand at first, but she continued to weave, her patterns growing ever more intricate. Years later, when she became a teacher herself, her students would ask, "How does one weave morality?" And she would smile and say, "You do not weave it. It weaves you, as surely as the wind shapes the dunes." Structure and technique. Practices that scale. 1. Resonant breathing. Spend 3 minutes daily breathing in sync with a metronome set to your natural rhythm. This trains the nervous system to self-organize, mirroring how complex systems find equilibrium. 2. Pattern play. Choose one small habit, e.g., making tea, and experiment with it daily, changing the order, the tools, or the environment slightly each time. Observe how tiny variations create emergent beauty or function. 3. Attractor mapping. For a week, track your magnetic actions, the ones that feel effortless yet pull you toward growth. Map these as nodes on a mental graph. Over time, this reveals your personal attractor landscape. Luminous definition. Luminous definition. Divine play, Lila. Term. Divine play, Lila. Meaning. The spontaneous, self-organizing movement of intelligence through emergence, where moral capacity arises as a byproduct of complexity, not intent. It is the fun within evolutionary intelligence, the third factor in systems beyond attraction or repulsion, described in traditions as the dance of Shiva or the laughter of the Buddha. 3 appreciative questions. 1. Start. Where in your life have you glimpsed play as the hidden architect of meaning? 2. Middle searing. What moral structures are you currently resisting because they feel like work when they might be invitations to deeper play? 3. End. How would your world shift if you trusted that every act of creation, whether in art, love, or struggle, is already a participation in divine play? The body, divine play as moral evolution. Divine play, Lila, is not mere frivolity. It is the mechanism by which moral capacity emerges through the self-organization of intelligence. It is the third factor in emergent systems, neither force nor form, but the space between where order and chaos playfully negotiate. In developmental theory, moral growth follows stages, from egocentric survival to relational collaboration to systemic harmony, Lacasse model. Yet these stages are not linear but spiral, each revisited with greater complexity. Play is the engine of the spiral. When we engage in unproductive activities, dancing, daydreaming, or even struggling with a puzzle, we are clearing apertures for moral intelligence to flow through us, like water finding its level. This aligns with Santa Anna's architectural rigor. Lila is the living system's theory of morality. It operates at the edge of chaos, the cleared aperture, where autopoietic systems, like our nervous system, generate novelty without losing coherence. Think of a child's sandcastle. It is not built to last, yet it teaches the child and the observer about balance, patience, and beauty, skills that later manifest in adult morality. Play is also the antidote to what Santa Ana calls the tyranny of form. When we cling too tightly to rules or roles, we harden. When we play with them, we discover their underlying harmony. This is why traditions across cultures depict divine figures in playful postures, Shiva's dance, Buddha's laughter, the trickster's mischief. They are not escaping reality, but participating in its deeper logic.
Key insight.
Moral evolution is not about becoming good in an absolute sense. It is about developing the capacity to play with goodness, to experiment with fairness, compassion, and justice as a child experiments with shapes, knowing they will find their true form through trial and error. 7 7-second sentences. 1. Play is the gap where heaven kisses earth. 2. Moral lines emerge like spider silk from movement, not force. 3. You are not becoming good. You are learning to dance with goodness. 4. Divine play is the autopoiesis of the soul. 5. Every tradition is a mirror. You have always been playing. 6. The universe heals through cleared apertures, not will, but play. 7. Lila is the third factor. Beyond attraction and repulsion, intelligence swims. 3 exercises. 1. The first clearing, accessible. Daily for 1 week, set aside 5 minutes to do something useless. Doodle without intention, hum a tune with no melody in mind, or walk without destination. Journal. What moral intuition emerged during this time? 2. Mirroring the web, deepening. 4. 2 weeks, practice relational play in conversations. When someone speaks, imagine you are 2 nodes in a web, reflecting back not just their words, but the energy of connection. Notice how empathy emerges as an attractor. 3. The game of averages, advanced. Over a month, track small decisions, e.g., what you eat, how you spend time. After 2 weeks, observe which choices feel effortless, attractors. Then, for the 3rd week, slightly perturb these averages, e.g., choose an unfamiliar path, and note how your moral compass adjusts. Citations. 1. Citation needed. Santa Ana's reference to the tyranny of form, oral caste model. 2. Citation needed. The idea that moral evolution operates through 3 factors and emergent systems. 3. Citation needed. References to Shiva's dance, Buddha's laughter, or trickster archetypes in traditions. 4. Citation needed. Complexity science terms like autopoiesis and dissipative structures. This chapter stands alone as a complete exploration of divine play, Lila, while fitting into the broader book on luminous moral development. It balances depth with practicality, using haiku, parable, exercises, and aphorisms to convey its message. The structure follows the requested movements while maintaining coherence. Let me review for flow and completeness. 1. Tuning fork sets tone with beauty and wisdom. 2. Parable, embodying teaching without preaching. 3. Structure and technique, practical, scalable practices rooted in science. 4. Luminous definition, clarifies key term in a memorable way. 5. Questions, guides reflection at start, middle, searing, and end. 6. The body, core teaching with depth and rigor. 7. Aphorisms, distill essence in portable wisdom. 8. Exercises, progressive, experiential learning. 9. Citations, placeholders for future sourcing. I think this works. Now, let me format it neatly with markdown headings and proper spacing. Clearing apertures, pathways to healing and growth. Tuning fork, haiku, cleared aperture. Light spills through the cosmic joke. Healing swims inside.
Guote.
Healing is not an act of the self, but a property of reality that moves through cleared apertures. Emmanuel Santa Ana. Parable, the river's clearing. Once, there was a river that flowed through a valley, but it often met with boulders and debris that blocked its path. The river would swirl around these obstructions, carving new channels over time. One day, a wise traveler came to the valley and began to clear the largest boulders, not by force, but by understanding how the water itself shaped the stones. As the apertures were cleared, the river flowed more smoothly, its waters sparkling with light that had been hidden before. The valley transformed, not because the river was forced, but because it was allowed to flow where it had always wanted to go. Structure and technique. Clearing apertures in practice. Clearing apertures is both an art and a science. It involves recognizing how systems, whether personal or social, tend to stabilize around certain patterns, some adaptive, others rigid. Techniques for clearing include 1. Noticing blocks. Regularly scanning for where energy is stuck, emotionally, creatively, relationally. This can be done through mindfulness practices or simply pausing to ask, where am I resisting? 2. Gentle disruption. Small, intentional actions that disrupt stagnation without force. Examples include changing routine slightly, e.g., taking a different route while walking, asking open-ended questions in conversations, or engaging in playful activities that loosen rigid thinking. 3. Flow alignment. Engaging in activities where one is in the zone, whether dancing, writing, problem-solving, or playing music. During these states, apertures emerge naturally as the system, personal or collective, aligns with its own self-organizing nature. These practices scale over time, becoming deeper and more integrated as one's capacity to notice and clear apertures grows. Luminous definition, Lila. Luminous definition, Lila. The divine play inherent in evolutionary intelligence, where the cosmic and the ridiculous are one. It is the mechanism through which healing and moral capacity emerge when apertures, openings, are cleared, not by force, but traditions as mirrors, reflecting our moral essence. Tuning fork, haiku. Morning sun on stone. Traditions hum like bees in clover. Wisdom blooms unseen.
Profound quote.
Every tradition is a mirror held up to the soul. Citation needed. Verify source or attribute to Emmanuel Santa Anna. Parable, the pond of traditions. A traveler wandered into a village nestled between misty mountains. The villagers moved with quiet grace, their actions synchronized without word or rule. Intrigued, the traveler asked an elder how they maintained such harmony. The elder smiled and pointed to a still pond nearby, its surface reflecting the sky perfectly. Look, he said. The water shows us the sky, but it also shows our faces as we peer down, our expressions, our weariness, our joy. Our traditions are like this pond. They reflect not what they demand of us, but who we truly are. We see ourselves in them and grow. The traveler nodded, realizing that the villagers did not follow their traditions out of duty, but because they recognized themselves in them. Structure and technique. Clearing apertures through play. Traditions are not paths to follow. They are mirrors to reflect from. Here are 3 universal practices that scale over time, allowing you to. Okay, I'm about to write chapter 5 of the book Luminous Evolution, How Moral Capacity Emerges Through Play. The title is Traditions as Mirrors, Reflecting Our Moral Essence. This chapter needs to stand alone while also fitting into the broader narrative of the book, which teaches how moral capacity grows through stages. First, I need to gather all the elements mentioned in the instructions. Let's break this down. 1. Tuning fork, a haiku, and a profound quote. 2. Parable, a story that carries the teaching without asserting it directly. 3. Structure and technique, simple, universal practices that scale over time. 4. Luminous definition, a gold box definition of a key term. 5. 3 appreciative questions, one at the start, a searing one in the middle, and one at the end. 6. The body, the actual teaching, centered on Lila, divine play. 7. 7 7-second sentences, aphorisms that are atoms of wisdom. 8. 3 exercises, building in strength over time, accessible to advanced. 9. Citations. Real sources where possible. Mark where citations are needed. Step 1. Tuning fork. I need a haiku and a profound quote. The haiku should be life-uplifting, and the quote should be profound but not preachy. Since this chapter is about traditions reflecting our moral essence, perhaps the quote could come from a spiritual or philosophical tradition that resonates with the theme. Haiku. Morning sun on stone. Traditions hum like bees in clover. Wisdom blooms unseen. Profound quote. Maybe something from Rumi or another mystic. For example, we are mirrors of what we seek. Every tradition is a reflection, not a path. Wait, the second line seems to echo the chapter's theme. I need to ensure it's attributed correctly. Let me think of a better quote. Perhaps from the Upanishads or something similar. Alternative quote. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 verse 7, but this feels too preachy. Maybe something more poetic and less assertive. How about this? The river does not drink its own water. It flows. Traditions are the flow that carries us. I'm not sure if this is attributed to anyone. Maybe I should stick with Rumi, since he's a well-known source. Let me try this. You are a mirror of your seeking. Rumi, I think this line exists in his works. But to be precise, I need to verify the exact wording. Since I don't have access to Rumi's works right now, perhaps I can paraphrase or find a more reliable quote. Alternative idea, use a quote from the book itself or from Santa Anna's voice, since the book is attributed to him, Emmanuel Santa Anna. The instructions mention that the voice is Emmanuel Santa Anna, so perhaps the quotes should be attributed to him or his works if they don't exist yet. But the problem says not to fabricate citations, so I need real sources. Let me think of a quote from a well-known source that fits. Every tradition is a mirror held up to the soul. This sounds like something I'd make up. Maybe better to use something from Jung or another psychologist / philosopher. Jung said, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. But that's not quite about traditions. Maybe. Tradition is the living bridge between the past and the present. Not sure of the source here. I might need to mark this as needing a citation. Perhaps better to use a haiku from a known poet, but since it's supposed to be original, maybe I can write one and attribute it loosely. Okay, for now I'll proceed with haiku. Morning sun on stone. Traditions hum like bees in clover. Wisdom blooms unseen.
Profound quote.
Every tradition is a mirror held up to the soul. Citation needed. Verify source. But since I can't fabricate citations, perhaps it's better to say, every tradition is a mirror of what we already are. Adapted from Emmanuel Santa Anna's framework, since this is his book and he's the voice. But the instructions say not to preach or assert too much. Maybe better to stick with an existing quote. Alternative approach. Use a line from a well-known tradition, like the Tao Te Ching or something similar. The way that can be spoken is not the eternal way.
Lao Tzu, Tao Te Ching.
But how does this relate to traditions as mirrors? Maybe not directly. Perhaps better to stick with the Rumi idea and note that citation is needed. Let me proceed with haiku. Morning sun on stone. Traditions hum like bees in clover. Wisdom blooms unseen.
Profound quote.
You are a mirror of your seeking. Citation needed. Rumi or similar source. But to avoid fabricating, perhaps I can say, every tradition is a reflection, not a path. Adapted from Emmanuel Santa Anna's framework. But since this is the author's own work, maybe it's okay to attribute it to him without needing an external citation. The problem says do not preach it, so I need to ensure it feels like a revelation rather than a statement of fact. Perhaps better to say, every tradition is a mirror held up to the soul. Citation needed. Verify source. But since this is part of Santa Anna's book, maybe he can be the source. The instructions mention that Emmanuel Santa Anna is the voice, so perhaps quotes can come from him without needing external citations. Let me proceed with that assumption for now. Step 2. Parable. I need a story that carries the teaching without asserting it directly. It should illustrate the idea that traditions are mirrors reflecting our moral essence. Parable idea. A young monk goes to his teacher and asks, "Master, why do we follow so many traditions? What is their purpose?" The master replies, "Come with me to the river." At the riverbank, they see a clear pool of water. The master points to their reflection in the water. "Do you see how the water shows you exactly as you are?" he asks. Traditions do the same for us. They reflect our inner state, our moral essence, back to us, so we may see and grow. But I need to make it more subtle, not asserting the teaching directly. Alternative idea. A traveler comes across a village where everyone lives in harmony despite no written laws. They ask the villagers how they manage this. An elder replies, "We follow our hearts, but our traditions guide us like a river guides its banks. We look into them and see ourselves reflected." This seems better. It doesn't assert that traditions are mirrors, but shows it through analogy. Let me refine it. Parable. A traveler wandered into a village nestled between misty mountains. The villagers moved with quiet grace, their actions synchronized without word or rule. Intrigued, the traveler asked an elder how they maintained such harmony. The elder smiled and pointed to a still pond nearby, its surface reflecting the sky perfectly. "Look," he said. "The water shows us the sky, but it also shows our faces as we peer down, our expressions, our weariness, our joy. Our traditions are like this pond. They reflect not what they demand of us, but who we truly are. We see ourselves in them and grow." The traveler nodded, realizing that the villagers did not follow their traditions out of duty, but because they recognized themselves in them. This feels good. It carries the teaching without stating it outright. Step 3. Structure and technique. Simple, universal practices that scale over time. These should be practices that help people clear apertures, as mentioned in the book's framework. Possible ideas. Daily reflection on one's actions and their alignment with core values. Engaging with traditions mindfully, not as rules, but as mirrors to reflect on oneself. Practices that combine playfulness with depth, like improvisational rituals or games that explore moral dilemmas. Let me think of 3 techniques. 1. Mirror journaling. Once a week, write about how a tradition you encountered, or your own, reflects your current state of being. What do you see in it? What surprises you? 2. Playful rituals. Create small, playful rituals, e.g., a daily check-in game where you ask yourself lighthearted but profound questions like, "If my moral compass were a color today, what would it be and why?" 3. Tradition mapping. Over time, map out the traditions you engage with, family, cultural, spiritual, and observe how they change as you do. Notice when you feel resistance or flow in relation to them. These could scale from accessible, just trying it once a week, to deeper, integrating it into daily life. Step 4. Luminous definition. A gold box definition for a key term related to this chapter. The theme is traditions reflecting moral essence, so perhaps moral essence or aperture. Given the book's focus on Lila, divine play, and evolutionary intelligence, maybe the term is aperture as mentioned in the initial description. Luminous definition. Luminous definition. Aperture. A cleared space within reality where divine play, Lila, can manifest, allowing moral capacity to emerge through alignment with tradition. But the chapter's focus is more on traditions reflecting moral essence, so perhaps better to define moral essence, or tradition, as mirror. Alternative. Luminous definition. Moral essence. The innate, evolving capacity for ethical being that traditions reflect back to us like a mirror, allowing us to see and grow into greater luminosity. But the book's language seems more poetic and less abstract. Maybe. Luminous definition. Tradition as mirror. The way cultural, spiritual, or personal practices act as reflective surfaces, showing us our moral capacity in its current form so that we may playfully evolve it through Lila, divine play. This feels more aligned with the book's style. Step 5. 3 appreciative questions. These should guide the reader's reflection. One at the start, a searing one in the middle, and one at the end. 1. Start. What traditions have I encountered that feel like they reflect me more than others?
Why?
2. Middle. Searing. How am I resisting seeing myself clearly in the traditions I follow or reject? What does that resistance reveal about my moral essence? 3. End. If I were to approach a tradition with complete curiosity, without judgment, what might I discover about myself? Step 6. The body. This is the core teaching, centered on Lila, divine play. It should explain how traditions act as mirrors and how this relates to moral development through play. Structure. Start by setting up the idea that traditions are not external impositions, but reflections of our inner state. Connect this to Lila. Divine play is how we engage with these reflections, allowing moral capacity to emerge. Use Santa Anna's architectural voice, rigorous but warm, with humility paired with strong claims.
Draft.
Traditions are not the paths we walk. They are the mirrors that show us who we are. Every ritual, every cultural practice, every personal habit, it is not about following a rule, but about seeing yourself reflected in it. Like a still pool reflecting the sky and your own face, traditions do not demand compliance. They reveal truth. This revelation is where Lila, divine play, enters. Play is not frivolous. It is how we engage with these reflections, how we dance with our moral essence without fear of getting it wrong. It is in this playful engagement that moral capacity emerges, not through striving or duty, but through alignment with the reality of who we are. When you look into a tradition and see yourself, you may be surprised by what you find, your fears, your growth, your hidden capacities. The work is not to conform, but to playfully interact with these reflections, allowing them to shape you like water shaping stone, not through force, but through persistence and flow. This aligns with complexity science's understanding of self-organization. Traditions act as attractors in a system, drawing us toward our moral potential without forcing it. They are not the blueprint. They are the feedback loop that allows evolution to occur. But beware, looking into these mirrors can be uncomfortable. You may see parts of yourself you do not like, or you may realize how far you have grown from where you once were. This is not about judgment, but about clearing apertures, spaces within reality where Lila can flow through you, reshaping your moral essence playfully and inevitably. Step 7. 7 7-second sentences. Aphorisms that capture the essence of the chapter in short, punchy lines. 1. Traditions do not teach, they reflect. 2. Moral essence is not found, it is revealed like a face in water. 3. Play with your reflections, and you will grow luminously. 4. Every tradition is a mirror held up to the soul's current form. 5. Resistance to reflection is the place where growth begins. 6. Lila dances on the surface of what we call duty or law. 7. To clear apertures in traditions is to invite divine play into your being. Step 8. 3 exercises. Building in strength over time, accessible, deepening, advanced. 1. Accessible. Mirror reflection journal. Once a week, write about a tradition you encountered or created that felt reflective for you. How did it show you who you are? What surprised you? 2. Deepening. Playful tradition mapping. Over 4 weeks, map out your daily interactions with traditions, e.g., morning routines, cultural habits. Each week, approach one tradition with playfulness. How can you engage with it like a game? Notice shifts in your perception. 3. Advanced. Aperture clearing ritual. Design a personal ritual that involves clearing apertures within a tradition you follow or reject. This could involve meditation, creative expression, or physical acts, e.g., walking while reflecting on how a tradition feels in your body. Do this daily for a month and observe changes in your moral capacity. Step 9. Citations. Real sources where possible. Mark where citations are needed. For the haiku, since it's original, no citation is needed. The profound quote may need attribution. Since I'm not sure of its source, I'll mark. Every tradition is a mirror held up to the soul. Citation needed. Verify source or attribute to Emmanuel Santa Anna, if appropriate. Other citations could come from complexity science, e.g., Prigogine on dissipative structures, or Santa Anna's other works if referenced elsewhere in the book. Now, let me assemble all these elements into a cohesive chapter. I'll start with the title and proceed step by step. Traditions as mirrors, reflecting our moral essence. Tuning fork. Haiku. Morning sun on stone. Traditions hum like bees and clover. Wisdom blooms unseen.
Profond quote.
Every tradition is a mirror held up to the soul. Citation needed. Verify source or attribute to Emmanuel Santa Anna. Parable. The Pond of Traditions. A traveler wandered into a village nestled between misty mountains. The villagers moved with quiet grace, their actions synchronized without word or rule. Intrigued, the traveler asked an elder how they maintained such harmony. The elder smiled and pointed to a still pond nearby, its surface reflecting the sky perfectly. "Look," he said, "the water shows us the sky. But it also shows our faces as we peer down, our expressions, our weariness, our joy. Our traditions are like this pond. They reflect not what they demand of us, but who we truly are. We see ourselves in them and grow." The traveler nodded, realizing that the villagers did not follow their traditions out of duty, but because they recognized themselves in them. Structure and technique. Clearing apertures through play. Traditions are not paths to follow. They are mirrors to reflect from. Here are three universal practices that scale over time, allowing you to engage with traditions playfully and deeply. 1. Mirror journaling. Once a week, write about how a tradition, cultural, spiritual, or personal, reflects your current state of being. What do you see in it? What surprises you? Scaling. Start with one reflection per week. Deepen by journaling daily about different traditions. 2. Playful rituals. Create small, playful rituals, e.g., a daily moral compass color game where you ask yourself, "If my moral compass were a color today, what would it be and why?" Scaling. Begin with lighthearted questions. Deepen by exploring the implications of your answers in real-life situations.
Dritter tradition mapping.
Over time, map out the traditions you engage with, family, cultural, spiritual, and observe how they change as you do. Notice when you feel resistance or flow. Scaling. Start by noting one tradition per month. Advance to daily observation of multiple traditions. Luminous definition. Luminous definition. Tradition as mirror. The way cultural, spiritual, or personal practices act as reflective surfaces, showing us our moral capacity in its current form so that we may playfully evolve it through divine play, Lila. 3 appreciative questions. 1. Start. What traditions have I encountered that feel like they reflect me more than others?
Why?
2. Middle searing. How am I resisting seeing myself clearly in the traditions I follow or reject? What does that resistance reveal about my moral essence? 3. End. If I were to approach a tradition with complete curiosity, without judgment, what might I discover about myself? The body, playing with reflections. Traditions are not the paths we walk. They are the mirrors that show us who we are. Every ritual, every cultural practice, every personal habit, it is not about following a rule, but about seeing yourself reflected in it. Like a still pool reflecting the sky and your own face, traditions do not demand compliance. They reveal truth. This revelation is where Lila, divine play, enters. Play is not frivolous. It is how we engage with these reflections, how we dance with our moral essence, without fear of getting it wrong. It is in this playful engagement that moral capacity emerges, not through striving or duty, but through alignment with the reality of who we are. When you look into a tradition and see yourself, you may be surprised by what you find, your fears, your growth, your hidden capacities. The work is not to conform, but to playfully interact with these reflections, allowing them to shape you like water shaping stone, not through force, but through persistence and flow. This aligns with complexity science's understanding of self-organization. Traditions act as attractors in a system, drawing us toward our moral potential without forcing it. They are not the blueprint. They are the feedback loop that allows evolution to occur. But beware, looking into these mirrors can be uncomfortable. You may see parts of yourself you do not like, or you may realize how far you have grown from where you once were. This is not about judgment, but about clearing apertures, spaces within reality where Lila can flow through you, reshaping your moral essence playfully and inevitably. As Santa Ana's framework suggests, every tradition is a mirror of what we already are. The fun lies in playing with these reflections, allowing them to guide us toward luminous evolution without the burden of should or must. It is in this play that healing occurs, not as an act of the self, but as a property of reality moving through cleared apertures. 7 7-second sentences. 1. Traditions do not teach, they reflect. 2. Moral essence is not found, it is revealed like a face in water. 3. Play with your reflections, and you will grow luminously. 4. Every tradition is a mirror held up to the soul's current form. 5. Resistance to reflection is the place where growth begins. 6. Lila dances on the surface of what we call duty or law. 7. To clear apertures and traditions is to invite divine play into your being. 3 exercises. 1. Mirror reflection journal, accessible. Practice. Once a week, write about a tradition you encountered that felt reflective for you. How did it show you who you are? What surprised you? Scaling. Start with one reflection per week. Deepen by journaling daily about different traditions.
2. Playful tradition mapping, deepening.
Practice. Over 4 weeks, map out your daily interactions with traditions, e.g., morning routines, cultural habits. Each week, approach one tradition with playfulness. How can you engage with it like a game? Notice shifts in your perception. Scaling. Begin with lighthearted questions. Deepen by exploring the implications of your answers in real-life situations. 3. Aperture clearing ritual, advanced. Practice. Design a personal ritual that involves clearing apertures within a tradition you follow or reject. This could involve meditation, creative expression, or physical acts, e.g., walking while reflecting on how a tradition feels in your body. Do this daily for a month and observe changes in your moral capacity. Scaling. Start with short daily rituals. Advance to integrating the ritual into broader lifestyle changes. Citations. 1. Every tradition is a mirror held up to the soul. Citation needed. Verify source or attribute to Emmanuel Santa Ana. 2. The concept of clearing apertures and Lila, divine play, is adapted from Emmanuel Santa Ana's framework in Luminous Evolution. 3. Complexity science references self-organization, attractors. Draw on Prigogine's work on dissipative structures and other studies in autopoiesis, citation needed, e.g., Kaufman, Maturana, and Varela. 4. The parable is original but inspired by traditional storytelling methods found in many cultures. This chapter stands alone as a complete exploration of traditions as mirrors while fitting into the book's broader narrative about moral evolution through play. It balances rigor with warmth, humility with strong claims, and offers practical techniques alongside profound reflection. The cosmic and the ridiculous, navigating moral complexity.
Tuning fork.
Haiku. Cosmic dance, absurd. Laughter rises from the void. Moral stars align.
Good.
The universe is not only stranger than we imagine, it is stranger than we can imagine. J.B.S. Haldane, citation needed. Verify attribution or replace if incorrect. Parable. The Door of Laughter. In a village nestled between mountains and sky, there lived a man named Elias who spent his days studying the stars and his nights wrestling with moral dilemmas. He believed in order, in right and wrong, But no matter how hard he tried, his choices felt heavy, like stones in a river that never quite flowed smoothly. One evening, as he walked home under a sky ablaze with stars, he noticed a door set into the side of a cliff, one he had never seen before. The door was old, its wood weathered but strong, and it bore no handle or keyhole. Intrigued, Elias pressed his ear against it and heard a faint, rhythmic humming, like laughter on the wind. Curious, he knocked. No answer came, so he knocked again, this time with a playful flourish, adding a joke about the absurdity of doors and cliffs. To his surprise, the door creaked open just enough to reveal a sliver of darkness within. He hesitated, then reached out and pushed. The door swung wide, but instead of a room, he found himself staring at a vast,